says a public service announcement. This is only a test. Emergency evacuation protest. May impair your ability to operate machinery. Can't quite tell just what it means to me. Keep out of reach at you, then don't you talk to stranger. Get your philosophy.
Chairman, yep. I've been knee deep in this study than anybody, and these kind of things concern me. I want this on the record, I do agree you've done a lot of changes, but the public opinion on this study was minimal. The policy committee, they couldn't provide minutes. I know the handful of people, you, Chips, Tim, Steve, Admiral Quinn, and myself were the only people that made any comments on the study. Multiple areas of the study was more of a consolidation hit than the improvements. But
what is Mike Kohler talking about? Mike Kohler is the Escambia County Commissioner from District 2, which I always have to remind myself no longer includes Perdido Key and Rarity in that area. But, you know, stuff to the east of there towards the city and then sort of Warrington and that vicinity after the redistricting that took place last time around. But he includes the base, and he is, of course, a military man himself, a long time serving in the Navy. And he says, look, the compatibility use study surrounding the base is not adequate, is not taken account of the things it needs to take account of, does not do what it needs to do, and is not going to be persuasive enough to the Navy when they're thinking about how they want to assign and where they want to allocate all of the operations that the Navy has, so many of which, of course, are located at our various local naval stations like NAS Pensacola, Corey Field, or Corey Station, NAS Whiting Field. You know, these are big decisions that the Navy could massively affect our community, and we've had problems over the years being the kind of place that the Navy would want to put its people, and this study is supposed to help with that, and it's not up to the task.
I moved forward with the defense health resilience, and we sent a lot of stuff up from the county, all the good things we'd done. The schools, they definitely persecuted us on. But from the county side, we cleaned up Chief's Way. You know, the TPO moved forward with the design on the front base. We did Old Corey. Some of the AACUS stuff that was in there. We're working on the blight.
Yeah, these are all things that we have talked about as they have come before us. But, you know, working on the schools goes all the way. I mean, schools have long been an issue in Escambia County, particularly in that part of the county. And you'll remember back when Tim Kinsella, Lucky, was the commanding officer of the base. And, you know, he gave a speech at the Chamber of Commerce that I reported on. And that led to a big lot of fighting, a lot of arguing, a lot of, you know, who's responsible. But the short takeaway was, hey, the schools need to be better or we're not going to be able to continue the missions that are at NAS Pensacola because people aren't going to want to come here. Well, the sad news is that when it comes to the quality of the schools, not a lot has changed since then. That's still a problem. And though efforts have been made in certain areas to make that better, there's still a problem. So when people are considering whether they want to, you know, change station to Pensacola, they often say, And that's bad, because if enough people keep saying, then eventually the Navy says, and they move our missions elsewhere. That can always happen.
But this study concerned me because I was part of the CONUS study where they closed the Navy hospital down. And so when we do these kind of studies, I think it's very, very important we take them serious, because consolidation does happen. I could talk the next hour about it, how it's happened in the DOD in my 33 years. So I would not vote for this, but if it's just an update, I appreciate it, Drew, and I appreciate all the work that you did.
Thank you.
But this study definitely concerned me.
Because we take for granted, everybody takes for granted that we're going to have a big, thriving, active Navy presence on the base, along with, I mean, there are other services in the base as well, but, you know, that all of these people are going to continuously be coming through there and making money and spending money in our community which has massive reliance upon Department of Defense spending. And, you know, people tend to think, well, about the Blue Angels in particular, you know, that's sort of the most visible, popular, well-known element of this, but, you know, and that's important to tourism, sure, and that's important to our sense of identity as a community, but, you know, the Blue Angels is a teeny tiny slice of the significant economic impact of what these bases have on our area. Whiting and Santa Rosa is essential to the health of Santa Rosa County, and NES Pensacola is essential to the financial health of Escambia County and Santa Rosa County. And if that changed dramatically, it would be massive in terms of what our effects would be. And it's not just a question of the school quality or the housing affordability problem or the transportation issues and people having to live far away from the base in order to find affordable housing or schools that they're willing to put their kids into. And then they cannot get to the base in a timely manner because we haven't done enough to keep up on the infrastructure. I mean, these are kind of the problems, okay? It's not just that, okay? It's there are other issues as well, like when a storm hits. We have very, very old buildings on board NES Pensacola, and that's expensive to repair. We are vulnerable to storms, right? So the Navy might at some point say, well, you know, the last time a storm hit was Sally. It was somewhat significant. I mean, it caused about $400 million worth of damage. Maybe we don't want to rebuild and repair all of that stuff. Instead, maybe we want to shift missions to somewhere else where it's not going to cost us $400 million periodically to repair it and to have to question whether we should even invest in that. These are the kinds of questions that go on all the time. And so Mike Kohler is thinking we need to do everything we can to make sure that we are in the best position possible to make the case to the Navy, no, here, this is awesome. And listen, we have a lot of things going for us. I know I'm talking about the negative stuff. You know, we have a lot going for us, the history and tradition of the location. The Naval Aviation Museum is a tremendous asset, which is useful in to some degree, okay, for persuading the Navy that this is a good place to have, for example, pilots begin their training because they can, you know, be exposed to all of the history, and it's a wonderful thing. We have the beaches. We have a lifestyle. We have, you know, great airspace. I mean, there are a lot of things about here that are very, very good, okay? But there are also a lot of things about here that are very, very bad, compared to all of the other possible locations that they could go.
A year ago, the News Journal put out this article, one storm away from losing the Blues, and they're right. And so we need to collectively on this board, that base brings in over $6 billion for this county. It's not just in District 2, it's over 45% of our economy. There's no way that it doesn't affect everyone in Escambia County. So this consolidation compatibility utilization study, I want to do all the things that we can in it because I think it's important and we highlight it. And I appreciate the work, Drew, and I don't want to be overcritical, but it's very concerning to me.
Yes, sir.
I want somebody who is overcritical about this because you know how there's two kind of students, right? There's a kind of student that's like, when's the deadline? What's the minimum I got to do to get the paper turned in? Okay, it's good enough, you know? And I'm not saying the county has taken that approach. I'm saying Mike Kohler is saying the county has taken that approach, okay? Well, we got something in. You know, we cut and pasted from here and there. We put the thing together, okay? And he's saying, no, we need to be student number two. We need to be student number two that works hard in advance, works hard at the deadline, edits the paper four times, asks some friends to look at it, puts their very, very best effort into the paper, and then turns it in and has the best chance possible. You might still get a C, but you cannot feel guilty or blame yourself for not trying if you get a C and you're in the best chance possible to get an A or B, which is what we want to do. So we're going to talk to Mike a little bit later on this morning at 6:35 and get his take on this. Wes Moreno normally is our 6:35 interview, but he's out for 2 weeks with some personal stuff. So we're going to talk to Mike this morning about this in particular and other matters in front of the commission. But I wanted to kind of set that up to get it on your brain because, again, we just take it for granted. We take for granted that there's going to be Blue Angels here locally. They don't have to be. They haven't always been. And it would be devastating in a variety of ways for them to leave. And it's kind of unfortunate that most people think of that as the big diamond. Like, that's the thing that if we lost it, it would be bad. Losing the Blue Angels would be, and I hate to say it this way, but it's true, nothing compared to losing, for example, the training mission and teaching all of the maintainers that we have out there. That would be massive. Now, how likely is it to happen? Well, we'll talk with him about that, but that's the point. you know, losing the Blue Angels, you think of, most people think of as like the massive threat. Oh my God, not that. In the scheme of things, nothing compared to if we lost the other major missions out there, or even, you know, medium-sized missions out there. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join Travis Thompson with Climatech of Professional Air, an American Standard heating and air conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area, on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30. Join in as Travis discusses how you can lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. Join him today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can it keep me warm when I'm cold?
Wait, no, I'm always hot.
Sleep Number does that. The Climate 360 smart bed actively cools or warms up to 13 degrees on either side for your ideal sleep temperature. 94% of Sleep Number smart sleepers report better sleep. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save $1,000 on our most popular Sleep Number smart bed and Saturday. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
It's News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, the website, the app, or your smart device. It's news on your terms.
They're great.
Morning, 5:22 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. It is one of the greatest days in sports. It's opening day. Yay! Oh man, I was faced with a real, pressing, personal, and poignant challenge this morning, Jake. The kind of thing that I hate because I'm not a decider. I'm not good at making decisions. I'm a waffler. I tend to go back and forth and analyze. I've decided that on the personality spectrum, there's deciders and then there's analyzers. And I'll give you an example. President Trump is a decider. He's not hamstrung by analysis.
Right.
But that can be, you know, and there's no self-doubt. Once he makes a decision, he's just in, you know. And it's always right, and it's never a mistake. And I say that a little jokingly, but I think that's also a virtue. Because the other end of the spectrum is people like me who are like, slow to make a decision. And then once we do, we're like, did I make the right one? So today I was faced with a really pressing decision. It's opening day, so I always wear a Cardinals jersey on opening day. 100% of the time throughout all of history, period, no asterisk. Until today, because today is also the NCAA tournament. And my alma mater, Illinois, is actually in the Sweet 16 for the first time in 20 years. What do I do?
Wear them both.
I did. Look. Cardinals gear is under the Illinois sweatshirt.
Man, it's hot in here, too.
It is hot. I don't know. I'm going to go back and forth all day. And I realized after the fact, because I don't normally wear a baseball hat to work, I realized after the fact I could have done both outside by wearing a baseball hat and a Cardinals hat and also my Illinois sweatshirt. But so these are the challenging things that make my life complicated. So
that's why I don't follow sports.
That's why?
Because
you can't figure out what clothes to wear?
Can't keep up with the fashion.
That's good. Yeah. I like that. It's 5:24 here on News Radio 92.3. Also, Alabama is in the Sweet 16, and they play today as well. So, you know, and some other teams. We won't talk about them. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, we're learning a little bit more about that ship that slammed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge this week. Apparently, it was hauling 60 containers that were all filled with hazardous materials, including corrosives and flammables. They say the National Transportation Safety Board says some of those containers were breached. leaked into the water after that crash.
Oh, great.
Memorial services taking place in Springfield, Missouri tomorrow for the student who went missing in Nashville. The body of 22-year-old Riley Strain was found in the Cumberland River on March 22nd. And some news coming out of Illinois today. Apparently, you don't hear about this a whole lot, but four people have died.
Why do you throw shade on Illinois like that?
Well, no, you see a lot coming out of Chicago as far as violent crimes and that,
that's
but there's
true.
A stabbing spree in Illinois.
Where?
In Rockford.
Oh.
So police there are saying there were several violent attacks in Rockford around the city, and one person has been arrested in that case, but at least four people killed and five injured in a stabbing spree in Illinois.
Well, that's certainly weird, and, you know, Rockford being a western suburb of Chicago, I mean, it's not really a suburb, it's...
It's a little ways away, but still in the air.
And it's not, you know, I mean, Rockford's, I mean, you know, it's a fine place. It's not the greatest and it's not the worst. It's not Aurora. I mean, it's so, I don't know. Okay, wow. How many did you say?
Four people killed, five injured.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, that's, yikes. It's not here anyway, so I'll take that. 526, David, thanks so much for the update. 526 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You actually heard David talking about this a little bit at the top of the hour. We have the sort of first step in a long series of steps that involve the Jeff Bergosh text message scandal, case, controversy, drama, I don't know what you want to call it. But the judge yesterday, the Okaloosa judge yesterday ruled that the initial demand for the Replevin, the return of the text messages and the horse that brought them in, the USB flash drives or whatever. You don't get those back. And here's why. The short version is, Replevin is an ask for something that belongs to me to be returned to me. But the problem in this case is, first of all, Escambia County doesn't own anything really that they can show they own that was taken from them. And then they wanted the... The funniest part about this lawsuit is that they asked for, Jeff asked for, through the county, asked for the return of the devices that nobody ever believed even belonged to the county exactly, or didn't even know who they, like, you know, if I can't get the text, at least give me back the USB drives that have the text on them. So the judge said, no, there's no evidence that those even belong to you. Also, you have them still. So what exactly do you think you were deprived of by having them taken if you already have them? Because that's what a Replevin has to do with. And the conversion is, as I understand it, I'm not a lawyer and didn't even sleep at a proper hotel last night, but, you know, conversion is to, like, turn it to profit or use it in some way. Replevin is just to have the thing that belongs to somebody else. I think that's about right. Anyway, if they already have it and somebody else also has it, then how were you denied the ability to have it? And the answer is you're not. I mean, Jeff has a copy in his safe, and Escambia County at least at one time had a copy in their possession and still do because they had to go through them for purposes of deciding what's a public record or not. So, you know, the initial ruling here was it's not likely, based on what I've seen so far, that you're going to win in the end, and therefore I'm not going to give you kind of a preliminary judgment that you get the stuff back while we decide whether I think you're going to win or not. So it's a loss for Jeff Bergosh and a win for Gannett, Alex Arduini, and Jonathan Owens, but it's only a preliminary win. And it's still not on the question of the ethics allegations. It's this is step one, which will eventually, in my opinion, my expectation is this will eventually become a judgment against the county that they do not get these things back. And that will be followed up by the anti-SLAPP lawsuits from Alex, Jonathan, and Gannett, P&J, that the county owes them a judgment that they have basically broken the law by engaging in the suppression of citizen speech. That's what SLAPP laws are about, a strategic lawsuit against public participation. It's not legal in the state of Florida, and I think in most every state, but it's definitely not legal in the state of Florida, for you as a government official to use the weight of the county's legal structure to wage lawfare, to create lawsuits in order to suppress people who are your political opponents. And when they do that, they are subject to penalties. And even the particular lawyer who works for the county, in this case Steve West, would be personally subject to penalties if those lawsuits are brought, which they will be, and if the county loses, which, my opinion, they will. 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. So that was just kind of the, you know, round one results of all this. And like I said, there are several different dimensions of it. Did you know there's a nudist camp in Santa Rosa County? I keep having heard this over the years. It's not anywhere I'm going to go. But Troy Moon from the PNJ, Troy's great. Who is, you know, he's such a quirky dude. He's always going to find the weirdest story. And apparently there's this, you know, and I'd heard this, but I didn't really know where it was. And I kind of looked on the map yesterday. Where is this thing? And I thought, well, did we bike through there? You know, because we biked everywhere in Escambia and Santa Rosa County. And did we just not see what we were supposed to see? Well, you know, it's behind some woods and it's, you can't really see it from the outside, so to speak. But yeah, if you need a place in Santa Rosa County where you need to do naked laundry and naked chores and naked showers and apparently naked journalism, you can go there.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The bodies of two men in a submerged pickup truck are recovered from the scene of Tuesday's bridge collapse in Baltimore. The search for four others is suspended for safety reasons. The ship that hit the bridge had 56 containers of hazardous materials on its manifest. Some were breached.
Mostly corrosives, flammables, and some miscellaneous hazardous materials.
Like ion batteries, says NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy. A judge recommends that former Trump attorney John Eastman lose his law license for his role in the plan to overturn the 2020 election.
The recommendation now goes to the California Supreme Court for a final ruling. Eastman also faces criminal charges in the Georgia state case, which alleges that President Trump and several allies tried to overturn his loss in that state.
Fox's Kevin Uretsky, Eastman's legal team, says the handling of the issues surrounding the campaign was based on reliable legal precedent. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, it is mostly clear, 53 degrees in Pensacola. Well, we are getting some local reaction to Tuesday's bridge collapse in Baltimore. Clark Merritt, the director of the Port of Pensacola, tells us a major selling point of the port is that there are no overhead structures for vessels to worry about, as well as the direct access to the Gulf of Mexico. There's also safety measures, including a state-licensed pilot and tugboats that escort each ship both in and out.
Not only do those tugs assist the docking of the ship when it comes in and when it goes out, but it's also there in case the ship loses power, which, as we saw with the Baltimore accident, is exactly what happened.
And Merritt says the tugboats could keep a ship in the channel in the event of a power loss, as well as directing them away in the event that a ship was heading towards the dock or berths in downtown Pensacola. Well, 2 months ahead of the June 1st start of hurricane season, a leading forecast now predicting a potentially explosive season. Yeah, abnormally warm sea surface temperatures and La Nina gained dominion over the Atlantic Basin. AccuWeather released its forecast yesterday. They're predicting 20 to 24 named storms, with 8 to 12 of those storms possibly becoming hurricanes. 4 to 7 of those are forecast to reach major hurricane strength of Cat 3 or higher. An average hurricane season has 14 named storms, including 7 named hurricanes. The 2023 season ended with an above-average 20 named storms, ranking it 4th for the highest number of storms on record. A new law targeting squatters here in the state of Florida takes effect this summer. Governor DeSantis in Orlando yesterday to sign that bill.
In places like New York and California, that's exactly what's happening in this country. Homes are being those states and their laws are not siding with the homeowners, they're siding with the squatters.
Now, this measure will strip the squatters of their rights, allowing tenants to immediately remove people living illegally on their property after they fill out a form and give it to police. It'll also create tougher penalties for anybody who presents a false lease or deed agreement. That law now going into effect in July. Marco Rubio calling attention to the plight of orphans in Haiti. Rubio releasing a letter yesterday that he wrote to Secretary of State Antony Blinken. Rubio asking Blinken to prioritize the cases of orphaned children in Haiti that have been legally adopted by Americans. Rubio says the situation in Haiti has reached a critical juncture. He says it's incumbent upon us to join forces and make a positive difference for the children there. And it's a busy time out at the port. Warehouse 4 Sports announcing that they plan to launch the first phase of Portside Pickle Soup.
Rob Fabro and his team are starting construction on those outdoor courts, which is going to be the first phase. I think the latest as far as him being open is around the early July timeframe.
Clark Merritt from the Port again there. And the first phase consisting of 8 outdoor pickleball courts along with recreation and concession space. Merritt also says the new American Magic headquarters is currently in its engineering phase, making good progress. They believe that'll be done when the team returns early next year. 5:35. And let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will have plenty of sunshine today with temperatures rising near 72 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 47. Beautiful and sunny as you go into Friday with a high near 71. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 55. The nice weather continues for your Saturday with just a few passing clouds, high near 74 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 60. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 53 in Pensacola, 53 in Gulf Breeze, and 54 in Milton. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are their dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Your road to adventure starts with the 2024 Subaru Outback and the 2024 Subaru Forester. Both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence along the way. The Subaru Outback, according to Kelley Blue Book, is one of the best family cars of 2023. And according to Auto Trader and my good friend Max here, the Subaru Forester is one of the 2023 best cars for dog lovers. For information on all the awards and accolades from Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader on the Subaru brand, the Subaru Outback, and the Subaru Forester, visit KellyBlueBookKBB.com and AutoTrader.com. Whether you're a Forester family or an Outback family, your road to adventure starts in a Subaru. Get yours during the Subaru A Lot to Love event. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated. Auto Trader is a registered trademark and used with permission.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's cold a little bit this morning, 51. I cannot figure out what temperature it's supposed to be from day to day around here, but, you know, hey, I guess that's spring in Pensacola. In any case, it's warmer than it is most other places, and I will take that as a gift. Clark Merritt is the director of the Port of Pensacola. He has been for about 3 years since he took over from Amy Miller, who was a longtime port director before that, and she went on to be, of course, the assistant city administrator over enterprise projects like the airport and the port and Pensacola Energy and some other things as well. But he joined us yesterday when we were talking about, you know, how is traffic on the bay, shipping traffic, a threat or not to our bridges? how does that traffic interact with our port and, you know, the pass and all of that. I thought it was a good time to, you know, just kind of see what sort of threat there might be for Pensacola and how we deal with the safety issues that have been brought up, obviously, in the wake of the Baltimore incident. So Port Director Clark Merritt, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. 3 years, it seems like it was kind of a long time ago and also just yesterday. Welcome back to the show, sir.
It sure does, Andrew. It tends to go by quickly and very, very slowly sometimes.
I think the older we get, the faster it goes. I'm just saying, I've noticed that myself. It does seem to go by a lot quicker than it used to. I just wanted to talk with you. You and I talked a little bit yesterday about this as well, but obviously with the events that took place in Baltimore, my first question was, you know, hey, what kind of protocols for safety do we have in place here in Pensacola? How are we or are we not vulnerable to anything like this? We are obviously a very different kind of port, very different kind of setup with our bridges, different kinds of boat traffic doesn't come here. But I just wanted to hear from you because you're the port director, your thoughts about what happened and kind of how any of that might be relevant here in Pensacola.
Sure, Andrew. I certainly appreciate the time. And what a tragic event in Baltimore with that large container ship, losing power at probably the worst time. Pensacola is a little bit different, as you're aware. The port is a direct line to the Gulf of Mexico, so there are no overhead bridges or structures or anything that the boats that call on Pensacola have to worry about. Which is actually a selling point for the Port of Pensacola because it's one of the quickest transits in and out of the port along the Gulf of Mexico. It takes about maybe a little over an hour, whereas some ports, let's say Houston, it could take you 8 hours to get to the port from the Gulf of Mexico. Now, there are similarities. We do have a state-licensed pilot that brings in every ship and takes out every ship. That calls on the port, and that's a state law. And he is a trained professional, and he understudied for several years under the other pilot who just retired. And additionally, we use tugs. I'm sure people have seen the tugs out on Pensacola Bay and escorting the ship as it comes in. And not only do those tugs help assist the docking of the ship when it comes in and when it goes out, but it's also there in case the ship loses power, which, as we saw, with the Baltimore accident, is exactly what happened. So those tugs can actually direct the ship away from, let's say, you know, keep it in the channel if it were to lose power, or let's say it's headed right towards the dock or the berths or downtown Pensacola. They can work to avoid some sort of tragic accident. So they're all parallels. Go ahead.
No. So, yeah, and that's something that as soon as you and I talked yesterday, it clicked with me that, you know, even the large ships that appreciate not having to, you know, deal with overhead clearance issues going under a bridge to get to our port of Pensacola, that because they don't have to cross a bridge, we just literally don't quite have this same sort of threat. But at the same time, you know, if a ship were heading towards the port and lost control, you could theoretically see where it could become a threat to Three Mile Bridge particularly. And that's, as you say, that's why we have tugs. We do have measures designed for that, of course. I started thinking about, okay, so not so much an issue with ships, not really, but obviously barges transit, you know, these bridges all the time, you know, especially the Three Mile Bridge, the Escambia Bay Bridge. I'm sure there are large vessels and maybe barge traffic that goes across the Perdido Key Bridge and the Bob Sykes Bridge as well. What kind of safety, what kind of protocols are in place to make sure, because as we know, barges, still very heavy, still very capable of doing a lot of damage. What kind of safety measures are in place to protect the bridges from that danger?
Well, that's a great question, Andrew, and that's a little out of my league. But you're right. The barges move through the intercoastal 24/7. All our fuel comes in via barge. The fuel that supplies NAS Pensacola for the jets, that comes in via barge. And it's a choke point right there at Pensacola Pass as the intercoastal intersects the access to the Gulf of Mexico. It's a very precarious situation if the mariners aren't really paying attention or if the weather is kind of squirrely, which is back to the Pensacola pilot. That's one of his highest areas of concern or high stress levels is when he's bringing a big 800-foot ship in and he's got to make that turn intersecting the intercoastal, and he has to deconflict with barge traffic. Those barges, they all talk to each other as they're transiting. They are very heavy, but they are professional mariners, and that's what they do for a living. And I would submit that we see very few accidents. I mean, I've been at the port 10 years now, and other than, of course, the Skanska debacle, I have not heard of a barge accident or an issue where, let's say, a barge has had to divert to Port of Pensacola because of damage or something along those lines. Now, the Coast Guard regulates that industry, similar to the FAA and aviation. So, I mean, it's a professional organization, and you know, safety is always paramount for these maritime operations.
And you know, I will note, I didn't comment at the time when you said it, but I will note that the water and port guy said that it was a question that was out of his league. So I appreciate that. And you know, I have other questions that are, you know, not necessarily in your area of expertise, but you're the kind of the closest person I could find to it. So, just cause this is the situation that happened in Baltimore. Okay. So let's imagine that we do have a big boat coming in, something that's going to dock at the Port of Pensacola. Wouldn't normally transit a bridge, but okay. Something bad happens. They lose power. They're off track, off course. What would happen? Like, what would be the order of events at that point?
Well, it would fall under the Coast Guard. Coast Guard immediately would come to action. You know, there's various Coast Guard assets. Of course, search and rescue would be paramount. We would be contacted. We would launch our security boat that the port has, a little rescue security boat that's available to us, and of course the city has a fire department boat. We practice emergencies with the fire department, Pensacola Fire Department. They come to the port. They've done waterborne exercises in the past, so it is something that it is trained for. But the Coast Guard would be the incident commander. The county might even activate. Let's say the bridge was damaged. The county might activate their emergency management plans, like they would for a hurricane. Once again, the city falls under the county in that structure, and Chief Jenny Craner is the city's lead point of contact for that. So she would have to coordinate with us and with the various federal agencies, the Coast Guard being the primary one, to complete the search and rescue efforts, and hopefully everybody would be safe. And then it becomes a salvage operation. So as you can see with the Baltimore pictures, it's going to be a nightmare. They're going to have to get large barges out there, ships with large cranes to pick that steel up and cut it. I mean, this is going to be a months long project to open up that channel. And just like a hurricane, the Coast Guard's primary mission is to make sure that maritime commerce and activities can resume as soon and as safely as possible.
Absolutely.
So under the control of Sector Mobile, Pensacola falls under U.S. Coast Guard Sector Mobile, and the organizational structure there. They really take over the show.
And that's something that I think, you know, a lot of people fully understand the Coast Guard mission and role. A lot of people maybe don't fully understand it. They tend to think maybe that the Coast Guard is primarily about, you know, security for the, you know, obviously the coastline and interdiction. But it's also buoy tending. You know, we have the buoy tender here that sits in the center point for the Blue Angels show. And then we also, you know, clearing and maintaining waterways is a crucial mission for the Coast Guard. Whenever there's a storm, you know, they got to go and make sure that things are safe to be used again. You don't have boats down in the middle of the channel that are interfering with people. And, you know, just all of that stuff is not a role we necessarily think about. And even like we have got what we have cutters here, what, five, I think. That's not really what they do, but there are other vessels that,
right, as you say,
under Sector Mobile, they would operate in that regard. And I even remember, was it Sally? I think it was Sally when, we had lost Three Mile Bridge and there was a worry that a loose tug or one of the barges was going to threaten the Escambia Bay Bridge. And I remember the sheriff at the time, you know, was basically saying, you know, we were thinking about how would we shoot down a barge. I mean, like, it's crazy the kinds of things that people have to imagine when you're dealing with massive threats to our commerce. No, that's all very, very useful. So that puts it all in perspective. And, you know, particularly the fact that our big ships don't come in through a bridge like obviously they do in Baltimore. I did want to give you a chance just to talk briefly since we got you on the line, Clark. Anything I missed to ask or anything else that you think is relevant for people to know about this, the application here to Pensacola, what happened in Baltimore?
No, I just think the public should know that these are highly qualified and skilled people that work on the waterfront, you know, every day. And as I mentioned before, I mean, safety is their primary concern. They follow checklists just like pilots do when they fly. Their equipment is kept in top shape. I mean, it's a professional operation, and they take it seriously, and they're doing it in all types of weather, day and night, right? They're not out there on their pleasure boat when it's 85 degrees and beautiful with light winds. They're out there in the middle of January with 4 and 5 foot seas, but that's what it takes to move cargo in and out to support the local economy. And then on a worldwide scene in the maritime commerce, I mean, hey, that's how store shelves are stocked. I mean,
right.
Those containers that everybody saw on the Baltimore ship, I mean, those were exports going around the world. And the same type of thing happens on the import side. So it's a critical component. Things just don't magically show up on the store shelves. It takes a lot of logistics behind the scenes to make that happen, and it all starts with the ship. Even in Pensacola, you know, bulk material is one of the primary cargoes for the Port of Pensacola with our long-term tenant CMEX. They import bulk cement, which is taken to the local concrete batch plants, and it's used in construction projects across Northwest Florida. So it's a critical asset and a critical key in the economy regionally. So that's just a little area that sometimes loses focus.
Yeah, we don't. It's not always in the news, not always front of mind for a lot of people, but it's definitely essential. Clark Merritt, he is the Port of Pensacola director. Clark, I know you got lots of other things going on as well at the port. Just a quick update. Where are we at on American Magic? Where are we at on the pickleball facility?
Great questions. Both are moving forward. If you pickleball will hit that first, since there is active construction going on the site. If people are downtown around the ferry landing, they'll see that's the big building there to the left of the ferry landing if you're facing the bay.
Right.
And Rob Fabbro and his team are starting construction on those outdoor courts, which is going to be the first phase. I think the latest, as far as him being open, is around the early July timeframe.
Oh, okay.
So he is making good progress. American Magic, of course, is the kind of the flagship project for the port right now. The sailing team that is over in Barcelona trying to win back the America's Cup and bring it back to the United States. They are in engineering right now. So we are working with the architects and the engineers to convert the building in the center of the port that you can see from Bayfront, the big 50-foot roof structure, about 55,000 square feet, that will become the training facility and fabrication center for American Magic as they relocate their 120-plus employees down to Pensacola to set up shop. So we're really excited about that. Magic is not due to return after, you know, fingers crossed, winning the Cup, until late this year or early into next year. So we've got some time to work on that building, and we're really excited. We're making great progress in that realm as well.
Very good.
Somebody had
let me know, Clark, that I guess we had in 1989, there was some kind of a strike on the Three Mile Bridge with barges and tugs. I was just trying to read up on it a little bit. So long before you were the port director, there was apparently an incident involving all of that. Clark Merritt, again,
I think I remember it. I think it shut the bridge down for a while. And it was very disruptive, foreshadowing of what happened at Sally.
I was graduating high school in the Chicagoland area, so I was certainly not familiar with that at the time. Clark Merritt, he's the Port of Pensacola director. Clark, as always, thank you for being available. Thanks for doing what you do to guard our maritime commerce and make sure that the port operates efficiently and makes the city money, which it's been doing for recent years. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you again soon, sir.
Great. Thank you, too, Andrew. See ya.
Most definitely. 5:54 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are trying to decide what to do in terms of your living situation and you've been considering the possibility of buying a house, especially for the first time, listen, I remember what it was like to, you know, rent and wonder, should we buy? And it's a big, scary decision, and it seems like a lot of work, and you don't know is now the right time. Our price is going up, down, interest rates. I know I hate giving my money to the landlord every month, but, you know, is this really the right decision for me? Hey, those are very normal concerns. Everybody has those questions. Okay, everybody does. And so what you want to do is just talk with somebody who can answer them. Give Christina Leavenworth a call. Talk with her and say, look, Andrew's always raving about you. He says you're fantastic. This is the concern I have. This is the question I have. Can you help me understand this? What can I afford? Where do you think I should live? What's a good value in today's market? What do you think is going to happen? She will answer all of those questions and help you get a perspective on what makes the most sense and then find you that right home. Or, because I know she's done this before, or say, you know, maybe buying isn't right for you right now. Because if she thinks that, she will tell you that. You know, she's made a living on being honest with people about her professional opinion. And that means, hey, if all we need to be is friends and not a client relationship, that's great, too. You know, I love meeting people. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Florida recently passed a major tort reform package? The legislature reduced Florida's general injury statute of limitations from 4 years to 2 years. They limited attorneys' fees and homeowners' lawsuits, which could adversely affect homeowners. For any injury claim, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Mom, can we have some ice cream?
I've got a better idea. Who wants to help me make something fun and healthy instead?
Me! Eating smarter is easy and delicious. Interested in receiving healthy recipes and a whole lot more in your email? Then register at healthiestweightfl.com and learn more about all the small steps that you can take on the way to living healthy. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Join Keith and Pam, your insurance experts with Verisk Health Partners, Monday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Learn how to save money on your healthcare costs. Find the right insurance products that best fits the needs for you and your family as you head towards retirement or are looking for options now. They will be taking your calls and questions Monday at 9 with Verisk Health Partners on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola right now with Joe and Austin, 4 to 7 on News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Want to get Capone? Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way. And that's how you get Capone.
Good morning, 5:58 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you this morning. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Yeah, well, the Carnival Legend cruise ship apparently not going to be able to dock in Baltimore because of the bridge collapse this week. That ship had been scheduled to return with a bunch of passengers over the weekend. Apparently, they'll be docking in Norfolk, Virginia, and have to bus everybody back to Baltimore. Kansas apparently now one step closer to banning gender-affirming care for minors. The Kansas House and Senate both approved that measure yesterday. Senate Bill 233 there would prohibit health care providers from performing that care on minors, including hormone treatment, surgery, and puberty blockers.
Yeah, there's, you know, some states are moving farther to the left on these sexuality issues. Some states are moving farther to the right. As, of course, Florida has been heavily for the last couple of years on these sexuality issues. And as is the idea of the federal system that we have with the Constitution, that states can make decisions about things not specifically granted power to the federal government about. And so you're going to have these various...
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.